I used one Bible to study out of, and I'm going to preach out of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're studying the book of Corinthians, 1 and 2 Corinthians. Not to learn, really, in 1 Corinthians, not to learn what to do, but basically learn what not to do. As we talked about the last couple of weeks, they were a carnal, worldly type of people. And those are two words people don't like to hear anymore, by the way, is carnal and worldly. You say that and people get mad at you. But I can't help it. It's in the Bible. And that's just the old devil trying to change the word again. And kind of like old, what was that guy's name down in New Orleans? They called him the chaplain of Bourbon Street. Y'all remember him? Bob Harrington, yeah, he ended up a failure, but he was great while he was good. I used to watch him when I was lost on Sunday mornings while my wife and kids were in the bed. I'd watch him. But he told this story, I'll never forget it. Said he would walk up and down Bourbon Street, and he would witness to people. And he'd go in and out of those bars and stuff and witness to people. Now, I wouldn't have done that, but he did that. And you know. But anyway, he said he walked in this bar one day and his old drunk sitting there. He'd been drinking all night. Wasn't nobody in there but him. And he was a nasty, crying drunk, you know, just pitiful. And said, Bob Harrington said, he looked over at the bartender and said, get this man some coffee. You need to sober him up. And he said, that bartender looked at him and said, preacher, this ain't none of your business. He said, well, I'm making it some of my business. You need to get him some coffee and sober him up. He said, you got him drunk. He said, I didn't get him drunk. He got him drunk. He said, if you don't leave me alone, I'm going to throw both of you out in the street. And he said, no, you're not. You're going to get him some coffee. And he said, the big old bartender walked around that bar, grabbed him by the collar and the belt and threw him out in the street and grabbed the drunk by the collar and the belt and threw him out in the street. And they were sitting there, they were laying on the sidewalk, side by side, laying on the sidewalk. No drunk, he's crying, you know. And he said, preacher, pray for me. And he said, Lord, please help this old drunk. He's drunk and he can't help himself. And said, the man started shaking his arm. He said, wait a minute, preacher, wait a minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa. He said, what? He said, don't tell him I'm drunk. Tell him I'm sick. And that's the way everybody is now. They're not drunks, they're sick. They're not drug addicts, they're sick. They're not whoremongers, they're sick. They're not homosexual, they don't even call that a sickness anymore. But nobody wants to be called worldly or carnal. You go in churches and you call them worldly and carnal, see what happens. But this church was worldly and it was carnal. Now, as you read this book, because I read it probably different than a lot of people, I've had preachers and teachers, as they were teaching out of this book, they would say the Apostle Paul said. Well, if Apostle Paul said it, you can take it or leave it. But if you'll say the Apostle Paul said under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God said it, he just used Paul to say it, to write it down, and as a mouthpiece. God said it. It's in his holy word. It's got so bad now that some people, they say they only believe what is written in red, the words of Jesus. Now, I've got news for you. The devil will whittle away at that book and whittle away a little here and a little there and a little here and a little there till you ain't got nothing. So don't ever say, well, Paul said, say God said. And just so happened he used the Apostle Paul. Holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, he said. So let's see what the Holy Ghost has to say through the Apostle Paul, okay? Chapter 4, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. He said, now they've had a discussion about him and Apollos and other teachers, you know. They've been arguing over who they followed and who was the best preacher, who was the best teacher. He said the first thing in this chapter, he wants you to know who he is. He said, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ. That means servants of Christ. And stewards of the mysteries of God. Do you know what a steward is? Now, you know the story of the stewards and their master came and he gave one a penny, two. 10 talents, you know, 5 talents, 1 talent. And it tells a story about what they did and what the master said when he came back, because it was teaching on how to be a good steward, how to take care of what God's given you and how to make it work. And he rebuked the one that did nothing but buried it in the ground and gave it back to him when he came back. He called him an unfaithful steward. Now, today we'd look at somebody like a broker or a banker. Going along those lines, somebody that it has been appointed to them to take care of what belongs to somebody else. Y'all see what I'm saying? And the Apostle Paul wants to make it clear through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, I'm not the one that taught this. I'm not the one that owns this. I'm just a keeper of this. That's what he was saying. When a preacher gets up, or a pastor, or an evangelist, you need to remember, if he's right, he's not the originator of that. He's not the writer of that. He's just been trusted to keep that and invest it in people so that it'll bring return. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
The same when it mentions a husbandman. That was the person that was trusted to take care of the vineyard or the farm or whatever it might be. They were the ones that was in charge of that. They didn't own it. What came out of it was not theirs. It was just their job to tend it. Now that's the way Paul's saying, look at him as a preacher and look at me or a pastor, evangelist, anybody. We're not the originators of this. Somebody told me one day, said, I've heard that preached before. You copied somebody else's sermon. I said, there's nothing new under the sun.
Amen.
I said, if somebody preached it, somebody else has preached it, and somebody else has preached it, and somebody else has preached it. And I read in North Carolina where they fired a pastor for, what do they call that when you're copying other people's, what? Plagiarism. And they fired him because they said he was getting his sermons out of notes from other preachers. Well, I got news for you. I read behind a lot of preachers. And we are a sum of everybody we've been exposed to. When you hear me, you'll hear little John R. Rice. You'll hear little Jack Howes. You'll hear little Lee Robertson. You'll hear a little Curtis Hudson. I preached for Curtis Hudson's, one of his daughters, one night. Surprisingly, I didn't know I was going to get to do it. But her husband asked me to preach, and I didn't even have my Bible with me. I visited my daughter in Florida, and they were friends, and we went to their church. And he asked me to preach, and I stood up and preached, and I didn't have an outline. So I just started shooting from the hip, reading holler, you know, and tell some stories to go with it. The Lord came down. She got shouting and hollering back there at the back, taking care of her baby. She embarrassed her husband because she got so emotional. The church got emotional. Everybody was crying. The altar was covered. And she gave me this, the greatest compliment, one of the greatest compliments I ever had. Now, her daddy was Curtis Hudson. Some of y'all don't know who that was. One of the greatest preachers ever lived. Baptist, independent, fundamental Baptist. Editor of Sword of the Lord for many years. And one of my heroes. And she came up to me crying after church. She said that her daddy got lung cancer after they started that church in Florida. And they always wanted her daddy to come preach. But because of his health, he never did get to come preach before he died. And she started crying. She said, tonight, I heard my daddy preaching. I said, amen. Amen. I didn't know I was doing that. But that's what the Holy Spirit's wanting to impress upon these Corinthians. It ain't Paul you're listening to. It's God you're listening to. Now, I understand it's got a lot to do with the man or the person speaking and the fullness of the Spirit and the Word of God and things like that. But let me tell you something. If you'll read your Bible enough, you'll know when a crook's talking.
Yes.
You'll know when a crook's talking. Won't nobody have to explain that to you. If somebody come to you and say, you didn't have to tell me. You don't have to tell me. So he's saying, I am a minister of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In other words, God was giving him things that he'd never given anybody else before. Mysterious things, like the Jew had never known. To death, the burial, and the resurrection was a mysterious thing to them. The sinless life of Christ was a mysterious thing to them. The birth of Christ was a mysterious thing to them. And God gave the Apostle Paul words to explain these things, see. So he wanted to tell them that right off. And I'll tell you the same thing. I'm just a minister. I'm just a steward of what God's given me. That's all I am. I don't own it. I have no copyright. And by the way, when people sell books and tapes and like that, and they got copyright on it, I tell them, I say, I got a Bible, a King James Bible. And by the way, King James Bible is the only English translation that doesn't have a copyright on it. What God puts out ought to be free. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, verse 2, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Oh, my goodness. God's given him some mysteries. Now, he's got to share them. He has to talk to these people at this church to be faithful in what God has called him to do. I always tell people there are several ways you can get rid of a pastor if you don't like his preaching. Number one, you can sit on the front and shout and holler the whole time he preaches. You can put plenty of money in the offering plate and show up for every service, and he'll die of a heart attack. But if he's faithful, you can't kill him. You can't stop him. Amen. You can't stop him. Now, I've seen a lot of them come and go. I've seen a lot of them come and go since I was ordained in 83, licensed in 82. Been preaching ever since. It might have been Children's Church, to jail, to nursing home, to Armed Reserve, National Guard. It might have been a church pulpit, but I was preaching somewhere all the time. Now, you let me tell you something. There's very few that remain. There's very few that remain. You know why? They don't want to keep it up. They don't want to be faithful to what God... Because, see, the going's going to get hard. Yes. And the criticism's going to come. Yes. And he's probably going to fall and get back up two or three times himself. Everything's going to go against you when you start trying to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm talking about regular Christians, too. Yeah. But if you're going to be one, you're going to have to be found faithful, or God's not going to give it to you. And if he does give it to you and you're not faithful with it, he'll take it away from you. I better go on. Verse 3, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or any man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. Whoa. Whoa. Verse 4, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. You know what he's saying? God guides me. You don't have to judge what I'm doing. God's already done that. He's right in the middle of God's will. He said, no man can judge that. He said, look at it again. He said in verse 3, I judge not my own self. You know what he's saying? When I first got called to preach, I judged myself and said, you can't do this. You're not supposed to be doing it. Somebody else is supposed to be doing this. Y'all see what I'm saying? A lot of times when you'll teach a Sunday school class or try to do something for the Lord, you'll judge yourself, but what led you to do it in the first place? Was it God or somebody? See, these people were men worshipers. They were following after men. And he's saying, look, you don't have to follow me. God called me to do this. And I can't tell him he's wrong. I can't judge it myself. He said, the Lord's the one that'll judge me because I don't know what to say or what to do. Verse 4, he said, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. You look at somebody sometime when you're right in the middle of God's will and you're trying to do what God says and they're judging you, say, look, you can't judge me. I'm doing what God told me to do. If you don't like that, you can leave. You don't have to stay. A lot of them will leave you too. But you don't have to be intimidated by other people's judgments. If you quit living for God, serving God, trying to be faithful to God, whatever it is you do, if you quit doing that because other people are judging you on why you do it or how you do it or where you do it or when you do it, you ain't never going to do anything because there's always going to be a critic. There's always going to be somebody to judge you. You wouldn't, it surprised you how many preachers have got word back to me and said, Ron Wright don't preach, he just tells stories. And I said, well, go back and tell them that Jesus told a lot of stories too. About fish and sheep and lambs and gates and fences and doors and lights and darkness. He told a lot of stories. I said, but all of it's the Word of God. Amen. Why can't you and I take our story or our stories and apply the Word of God to them and let God get glory out of it? Is that not what He called us to do? Amen. Hey, we know His story. Tell me the old story of Jesus and His love. We received that. Now we ought to tell people our story about what His story has done for us in our continuing story. Don't let people stop you just because a lady told this lady right here when she told her she was coming to this church, she said, Ron Wright been in every church in town. Well, that's a lie. That's a lie. I've served in a lot of churches. I've never just went to church. Since I got saved and surrendered to preach, I've not just went to church. I've served, man. I could start in that. Probably six different churches I've served in. I've pastored. I've assistant pastored. I've youth pastored. I've been bus driver, chief bottle washer, you know. But I never went nowhere just to sit around and wait for the preacher to die so I could be the pastor. I've had them come to my church like that. But, yeah, I've been in a lot of them. I've left a few over what went bad too, them. Wasn't me. But see, her point was not what had I done, but where had I been? So, don't let them judge you. Only God can judge that. I won't judge it. You tell me, I believe God wants me to do this, wants me to do that. If it appears you're in the will of God, and you've got the Word of God to back it up, I say, amen, how can I help you? I've helped a lot of people try to get in God's will and in serving God. Y'all awful quiet tonight. Amen. Look at there, verse 5. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. He said, time will tell. Time will tell what people do. Time will tell why they do it. Time will tell, they will eventually reap what they sow. Whether if it's in this life or like he says, when the Lord comes back, he's going to judge everybody's works. Now I'm going to tell you something. Now, I'm kind of hard on preachers. I'm hard on me. But I learned this, Dr. Jack Howells taught me this. He's in heaven now, but this was 25, 30 years ago. I'll go with anybody as long as they're going in the right direction. Now everybody ain't where I am in the Lord. And everybody's not where you are in the Lord. And a lot of these people in this church were not anywhere near where the Apostle Paul was in the Lord. He said, but don't you be judging me. And I'm not judging anybody that's trying to serve the Lord. I remember I said at a preacher's meeting one time, I said, and it got some bad grunts and groans and looks. And I said, I got a Sunday school teacher that smokes Winston's. I said, he's a good man. He's a soul winner. He goes on visitation. He leads people to Christ. He's faithful to his church. He loves his pastor. He loves his wife. He takes care of his family. He pays his debts. He knows the scriptures. He can teach the Bible like he's supposed to as a deacon. He's compassionate as he's supposed to do as a deacon. Now, I wish he didn't smoke. It's going to kill him. But it ain't going to send him to hell. And I said, it appears to me he's going in the right direction. And I'm praying that God will take the cigarettes away from him one day. And he has. So as long as somebody's going in the right direction, I'm not going to judge their intentions. Come on, help me. There's people come to this church and they ain't exactly where I think they ought to be or where some of you think they ought to be in their spiritual life. But they're coming here and they're hearing the truth. And it appears to me they're going in the right direction. So why would I call them over to the side and say, well, the way I look at you, you ain't right with God. You need to go to church somewhere else. I've seen that happen. I've seen that happen. Why would you do that? They're coming here. They're listening to the preacher. They're trying to do right. Look, appears to me they're trying to do right. They may not be dressing exactly the way they ought to dress right now. They may not be working exactly the way they ought to work right now. They may still have some problems in their personal life right now, but they're headed in the right direction. I'm not going to throw them off the boat for that. And that's what he's saying there. When the Lord comes, we'll see who was right and who was wrong. And I believe a lot of those that claim to be so right are really wrong. And we're all going to see it. Right now, they're pretty proud. But stand before him, they won't be proud. They're so busy judging everybody else. And when we get to heaven and the books are open, we're going to find out who was true and where they were true. Amen?
Yes.
And that's what he says right there. He said, God knows the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsel of the hearts. Then shall every man have praise of God. In other words, whether you praise these people or not, and you may be praising the wrong ones, when the judgment comes from God himself, God will praise the right ones. Verse 6. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes. He said, now this has come to me through me and this other preacher, Apollos, for your sake, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no man of you be puffed up for one against another. He said, now God's give this to us to preach to you, so that you'll know that nobody's above anybody else. And don't you get puffed up. And don't puff anybody else up. It'd be kind of hard to get puffed up around here, wouldn't it, Danny? The old preacher will knock you down there. Amen. There goes Beelzebub, the Lord of the flies. Beelzebub. Amen. Amen. He didn't like that. He'd get out if he could, but the door was shut. He was trying to go home. But look here, verse 7. I'm about through. I'll probably quit right around here. For who maketh thee to differ from another? Who made you any different than anybody else? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? You ain't got anything he didn't give you. Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? In other words, he said, why are you puffed up? You don't have anything that God didn't give you. And if you don't have anything that God didn't give you, why are you so big-headed and puffed up? Because anything that is good came from the Father above.
Yes.
Anything good about us is God.
Amen.
Ain't nothing good in us. Big old ball of mud. Mud, that's all we are. Take the water out of you, ain't nothing but dust. You know what a cremation machine does? It just burns off the water, that's all. That's all it does. It burns off, and you take out a handful of dirt. You and I, the Bible says he pities us because he knows we're made of but dust. He's the one that breathed the breath into Adam. And the Bible says he made him out of dust to the ground. He didn't make him out of stars or the moon or the sun or Pluto or Jupiter or Mars or some kind of angelic, beautiful being up there. He made him out of dirt. Well, who maketh thee different from another? If you ain't different, it's because he did it. You ought to look at that guy sleeping under that bridge and say, except by the grace of God, there I'd be sleeping.
Yes.
You ought to look at that gal with that needle stuck in her arm and say, except by the grace of God, that's where I'd be right now. That old drunk, then wallowing in his own mire and just say, except by the grace of God, that's where I'd be.
Amen.
Even that pervert that's wallowing in all kind of things that are unspeakable to us. We don't even talk about them out loud. Except by the grace of God, there we go. If we're any different, God made us different.
Thank you.
Well, I belong to the church. Whoop-dee-dee. The devil goes to church every Sunday. The demons do too. They ain't down at the bar. They over at the church house. I've had some of them as church members. Yeah, ask my wife. She'll tell you, we've had a few demons for church members. Amen. Amen. When they fly out the door, we go, whew. Amen. I'm serious. We ain't no different than that. Sometimes I think, where would I be if he hadn't found me? I tell you where I'd be dead in hell. If he hadn't found me, I'd been dead in hell. Most everybody I know is dead in hell. I was on that list. I told my wife today, was watching this. There's a new TV program about people growing up in the 70s. It's a comedy. But the boys were, names were drawn, their birth dates were drawn for the draft, you know. And when I turned 18, I went down to the post office and signed up for draft. My hands were shaking while I was doing it. Vietnam was bad, you know. There's 500 troops over there at the time. And I'm a little old hippie boy, you know, hippie looking boy signed up, weighed 147 pounds, 6'4", you know. And I thought, boy, if they take, I won't even make it past basic training. I was going to go sign up for the Navy, but I was too tall. They told me you couldn't sign up for the Navy if you was over 6 foot back then. So I was headed for the Air Force. I said, I'll be a trash man in the Air Force. But they had stopped, they postponed the draft. They were still drawing the birthdays, but they wasn't calling you yet. 6 months later, they stopped the draft. I told my wife they hadn't, I'd be dead. If the Army hadn't killed me, the Vietnamese would have. Or the drugs or the alcohol. Let me tell you something. For who maketh thee differ from another? Who maketh thee differ from another? It ain't us. People say, man, you sure have cleaned up your... No. We hadn't cleaned up nothing. He did that.
Yes.
Amen. My wife, she's always compliment me on how good a father and good a grandfather I am. No. If I am, he put that in me. He did that.
Thank you.
Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? Why would you glory? I mean, God gave you whatever's good.
Yes.
When people leave out of here, and I understand what you're doing when you, and I like it when people compliment my preaching, my sermon, but I like it because I think you saw Christ in it. You saw God in it. You're really not, but I'm just a vessel. I'm not even a good vessel. I'm just a vessel. And so when you do that, I kind of kid, but I say, if you get anything good out of me, you blame it on the Lord.
Right.
And I'm kind of kidding, but I'm also telling the truth.
Yeah.
Who are we? The Goodmans wrote that song, Who Am I? That a king would die for. Who am I that a king would die for? Oh, white trash, who am I that a king would die for? There won't be no big dogs and little dogs around here. We're just all dogs. There won't be any big shots or little shots. We're just all shots. There won't be any holier than thou. We're all just what holiness we got by the grace of God.
Amen.
There won't be any good or better. It's just His. As long as people's walking in the right direction, don't pump them up and make them think it's them. Remind them where it came from and then help them go a little bit farther. And by the way, if you remind them where it came from, it'll help them go a little bit farther. I've been saved a year at Eastside Baptist Church. They have nominating committees for everything. They needed a deacon. Somebody put my name on the list. What was I, 24 years old? They interrogated me. There's another guy on the list too. They talked to me. They really didn't want scriptural answers. It was just stuff. And I didn't get it. And I look back on it now and I think, thank God I didn't get to be a deacon at 24, 25 years old. I wasn't ready. I was not spiritual enough. I was not mature enough. I was not old enough. Thank God I didn't get it. It didn't hurt my feelings because I knew I wasn't ready. If God gives you something, you'll know it. They don't have to vote on it. Sometimes there are people that do things who don't hold the office. I've heard preachers preach that's never been licensed nor ordained and claim they're not preachers. And preach better than I do. With power. Yeah. But they never had been recognized and licensed or ordained. I've known teachers that say they're not Sunday school teachers teach wonderful Bible messages. Amen. And I don't criticize them for that. I don't ever say, well, why don't you get ordained? Why don't you get licensed? Some of y'all heard of a great preacher named D.L. Moody. He pastored one of the biggest churches in America. I've been in the church since Chicago, in uptown Chicago. I've been at one of the most beautiful churches you've ever been. It seats, I think it's down to about 900 now. And they built a college to go with it. It's liberal now. The whole thing's liberal now. He never was licensed nor ordained. They called him Mr. Moody. They never called him preacher. They never called him pastor. They called him Mr. Moody. The church had to hire a man to do the marrying because he wasn't ordained. He couldn't marry people. He said he didn't want to be marrying people anyway. God called him to preach. So if you're going in the right direction and God's give you gifts and talents, I'm not going to criticize that or correct that. I'm for you. Because see, when the judgment comes, we're going to know who was real and who wasn't anyway.
Yes.
And if time goes past long enough, the fake ones fall by the wayside anyway. I think y'all pretty real.